from the Boston Sports Journal, Greg Bedard. Hi, Greg.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Greg?
Greg, you heard anything on Isaiah Wynn since the conclusion of the game? We were just talking about that prior to the break.
I have not, but, I mean, it didn't. It's never good when a guy all of a sudden, you know, pulls up lame where it doesn't look like really anything happened. That's when you start getting kind of sketchy injuries. But he's been sort of in and out of the lineup ever since camp started. So you wonder if, you know, maybe it was something that was lingering that, you know, cropped up again. But hopefully it's not that serious because, you know, obviously they need him out. I mean, they need him on the field. I mean, with what's going on with Marcus Cannon, no one's quite sure when he's going to come back. I mean, the hope is he gets back before the season starts, but, you know, you never know with him. And, you know, obviously they're set at left tackle with Trent Brown, but they need Wynn as an option with Later and Waddle. You know, they've been in a competition for the past week, and that continued today with them switching off. So he needs to stay on the field.
Greg, last week you were impressed by the play of Jawan Bentley. You've continued to gush about him on BostonSportsJournal.com. He looked improved even tonight, so it really looks like they might have found something with this kid, huh?
Yeah, Jim, I mean, you know, you put last game together along with what he did in practice this week, and you stack this on top of it, and, you know, I think now we're starting to have enough evidence where you're like, okay, this kid's the real deal. They really struck on something in the fifth round. And, you know, the way he's trending right now, and, you know, you're always cautious to make too much of it with rookies. You'd have to say right now that he's looking like the opening day starter at middle linebacker, where I don't think, certainly after the first week of training camp, when he really wasn't all that noticeable, I don't think many people would have said that a while ago. But, I mean, look, the kid just makes plays. I mean, he's big, he's physical, he's a lot quicker than he looks, given his size. And actually, you know, pretty soon here on BostonSportsJournal.com, Chris Price did a really good story where he talked tonight with Bentley's college position coach, and also Devin McCourty had some phenomenal things to say about Bentley, kind of stuff that you're not used to hearing about a rookie. So look for that a little bit later.
We're talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, we talked earlier today, and we've been talking for a week about Eric Decker and what he might do in preseason game number two. Not a good showing for him tonight. Where do you think this is going with the receiver group? Who do you think is going to make this team?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, it's so tough because there's so many guys that we don't have any data on, or, you know, even the coaches. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy in Kenny Britt who, you know, pulled up with a hamstring pull at the end of OTAs, and you figure, okay, well, you know, we'll see him for training camp, and all of a sudden we just went through, you know, 2.5 weeks of training camp and two preseason games, and he's barely been on the field. He certainly hasn't done anything really all that competitive, and so, you know, I mean, I think you have to look at, we all know that, you know, Hogan's definitely going to be there. Patterson is definitely going to be there after, you know, what he's put together, even though we saw that coming along. And then, you know, after that, you're not really sure. I think Dorsett is definitely there, the way Brady talked about him.
You know, you named, I think there's four locks, and I think you just named them. The four locks that we know of to make the roster.
Edelman,
Hogan. Edelman, Hogan, Patterson, Dorsett, and I don't count Slater. He's obviously, you know, you count him as like a sixth receiver. But after those four, I feel like this entire thing is up for grabs.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, look, we all know Edelman's going to be on the reserve suspended list to start the year. So now you're not even looking for one more guy. You're looking for two more guys. And you got to pick them out of, you know, Decker. I think Riley McCarron, the amount of time he got on the field, punt returns and all that, I think that's a good sign. And you know, I think they're just going to try to bring Decker along as much as possible. And the only way in my mind that he doesn't make the team to start out, at least for the first 4 weeks, is if he's a complete disaster. And you got to hope that he's going to improve from here on out.
Yeah, my thought at this point is that one of those young kids might have a shot to be on the roster for the first 4 weeks.
I think you got to go with like a guy like Devin Lucian, who's been around. You watch him run routes. He knows what he's doing. You know, at least he can give you some sort of a semblance of a NFL wide receiver out there while you sort of buy time for Edelman to get back.
And then you've got one more spot that I think will come down to Decker or Britt, one of the more permanent spots.
Yeah, and you know, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, you know, Kenny Britt, we've seen him take the field in headphones, play with his kids while practice is still going on, you know. I mean, I don't know what to make of the guy. He looked tremendous in OTAs, but, you know, unless he's Randy Moss, and maybe he is, I don't know, you kind of got to do something before the season starts.
I want to go back to the defense for a minute, Greg. I know you like the guys up front. Keontae Davis, sack, played well off the edge, played meaningful snaps, it looked like, and it looked like he belonged. Can he realistically make the team?
I think so. I mean, he's kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, but since Trey Flowers has been out of practice and out of games, I mean, Keontae Davis has been Trey Flowers' stand-in, and so that's got to tell you something about what the coaches think. He hasn't flashed a whole lot in practice, but they obviously like what they see. But, I mean, you know, guys like – I mean, Adrian Claiborne was phenomenal tonight. Derek Rivers finally showed something with a couple key rushes and getting in there. He had a sack, but he also got to the quarterback a few times. Yeah, you know, I thought the pass rush was pretty good in general, and I also thought this is the second straight week. It's interesting that Brian Flores, the de facto defensive coordinator, has called a lot of blitzes, which we're not used to seeing out of this group in the preseason.
We're talking. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, go ahead.
Well, Murray, get another question. Ask the question.
Well, I wanted to ask about Brady.
Go ahead. Ask the question.
Yeah. Well, what were the biggest takeaways about Brady?
I thought overall he was good. I thought there were two sketchy drives out of sort of the first team offense, which was, I think it was their second drive. Brady had a couple late throws. He underthrew a couple passes deep. I mean, the deep passing game was really not there. I mean, we all know that Brady can live in a 5-yard box and complete all the passes he wants and move the offense, and they can be great at that. I mean, do they want – right now, they don't look like they have much of a deep passing game. That is somewhat of a concern. They can obviously make amends. And then there was a drive, I think the second drive in the second quarter, that didn't have as much to do with Brady as it did with the offensive line was just having trouble with some of the late blitzes that the Eagles were bringing, and Brady just had to get rid of it.
You think there's any chance the Patriots move on Trent Brown to keep him here beyond this season, this season in terms of contract stuff?
You would think so. I mean, the way that he's played, and, you know, for the most part, he played well tonight. He did have a couple, you know, of not optimal plays, but you put together his camp. I think I had him for he had 14 wins, 2 losses, and 4 draws in one-on-one camps, I mean, which is just phenomenal. By far the best on the team, and then you put together, you know, what he's done in the games, and he looks like a bona fide franchise left tackle, and you got to think that, you know, he might be open to doing something. But when you get a guy like that who's this close to free agency, and you got a show me year with the Patriots, you know, probably his agent is just like, you know what, play this out, protect Tom Brady, and you can get Nate Solder's contract in the offseason. So I think that might be a tough sell, but I wouldn't completely rule it out.
All right, one more quick one. If you're Chris Hogan right now, would you sign a contract with the Patriots and extend what you have?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, look, he's never going to be anybody's real number one. And, you know, he hasn't exactly been the healthiest guy in his time with the Patriots. When he's on the field, he's pretty good. I would sail off the rest of my career, try to finish out with Tom Brady, whatever he has left, and then see what happens.
All right, Greg. Appreciate the time, as always.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. You can find it online at bostonsportsjournal.com. That's where you go for that.